Today we're in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 10. And so much in these three verses, really amazing, as you'll see. We have reached in our journey through the heroes of the faith, Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yes. Now, you know, I'd like to say that I just picture Abraham, Father Abraham, and Sarah, his wife, as kind of like the grandparents of heaven. You know, just that you have been over to your grandmother's house for Thanksgiving. Oh, man. I tell you, nobody does it like Granny, right? Tell you, you can just smell that turkey a block away. And you get inside there, and it's just done perfectly. And you know it's going to be perfect because she that has had 50 years of experience has done the thing, you know. And just the beautiful fellowship. And I just remember my grandmother, we recorded her one year just to show her how much she talked. And she was just mother henning all around, you know. She would be known to actually cut my grandfather's meat for him. I mean, she took care of that man. And just the beauty of the mothering and the beauty of grandparents. And I just picture Abraham and Sarah like that. You know, the father of the faith, the mother of the faith. It says actually here in the scriptures, we're going to read pretty soon, that Sarah really is called the mother of nations. And of course, Abraham, it means the father of nations. And they truly are. They have many children. If you be Christ, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. How many belong to Christ here? Look at all those lovely hands. You are all descendants of Abraham. Yes. And so we want to study this man's faith. Very particularly, and we're just going to do three verses today about him. We'll continue with him next week along with Sarah, his wife. But let's take a look at verse chapter 11 and verse 8. Chapter 11, verse 8. Now it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. I love this. Do you ever feel like you have no idea what's next? No idea where you're going? You are in good stead, good steps with the great man of faith. He did not know where he was going. Isn't that a comforting thought? When you feel that feeling, don't be discouraged. You're just actually right in line with Father Abraham. He was following God's voice. He wasn't so much interested in knowing where he was going as in who was taking him there. And wow, what a great place to arrive at in your walk with Jesus. You are trusting him every step of the way, even when you do not have any clue what's next. And we adopt this stance of just saying, Lord, I don't know what's next, but let's just do that. Whatever you want to do, Lord, let's just do that. And that is a place of great joy and great peace to dwell in. God's the King. He will guide us. He is our God, even our God, who will guide us even unto death, the Bible says. That verse has so blessed me in just the last 2 weeks. He's going to guide me. He's going to lead me. That's why he's called the head of the church. You know where the brains live? In the head. And Jesus is the head of the church. And I'm part of the body. And the body just obeys the brain. And I am so glad that's true. Because that takes a lot of pressure off of me about my own life. And so Abraham, he just had faith in the Lord. And he just went out. He didn't know where he was going. And let me read to you his call. This is from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. He did not tell him where he was going to go. It was a step of faith every step of the way. So this is something to encourage us, and I've taken great encouragement in it from time to time when I have felt, I don't know what's next. Remember the first time this kind of thing happened to me, I became a youth pastor in a church years and years ago, and as I was there at the youth pastor position, this one elder came and he gave me a planning book. And I looked at that and I thought, what in the world am I going to do with this? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to just rely on Jesus and just ask Jesus what's next. And you know, I just put that thing aside and I never did use that. Just going to go with the Lord. Just going to walk with Jesus. Just find out what's next. You never know what God is going to do. Remember that God called Sherry and I to, is it North or South Carolina? It's North Carolina. North Carolina. And we knew no one in North Carolina. And this brother had come into our church and advertised a college called Warren Wilson College in North Carolina. And we just felt led to go there. And we sold our Volkswagen bus. And we got our four boys together and bought tickets to North Carolina. And the college said that they would pick us up at the airport. And that was a good thing. We shipped all our boxes to the post office in North Carolina. I mean, it was just, woohoo! It was an adventure, I'm telling you. And we arrived there, and the church had given us $2,000. And I heard of a little car that was on sale on campus. I got up early the next morning and went and bought the car. It was $600. And then I was in search of Sherry and the kids. They were gone from where we slept. And I found them walking to the cafeteria. Why didn't I think? You know, they were hungry. And picked them up. And we heard of this house that rent in Montreat. And we found out later that we moved into Billy Graham Street. Can you believe that? He was at the top of the hill and we were at the bottom. And him and his dear wife Ruth would drive by and wave to us. Because they saw all the little kids, you know, oh, there's a bunch of little kids. We end up going to their church. Sherry got a chance to meet Ruth Graham, and she was worried about what she would talk about. We end up talking about shoes. It was a real comfortable thing. We end up going to a Christmas party with Billy and Ruth Graham. It was just the most amazing adventure in Jesus. But it all started with, why don't you go to North Carolina to finish your degree? We ended up at Warren Wilson College and then at Princeton University after that. Got to see where Einstein lives. That was an adventure. But the Lord is amazing with his direction. And he is a God of surprises. C.S. Lewis wrote that book, Surprised by Joy. And it is true. And the Lord, just when he appeared to those disciples after the resurrection, it's resurrection season, you know. We're almost there. And the Bible says that they couldn't speak because of the joy. They were surprised by joy. He's alive. Yeah, he is alive. And he's alive today. And he wants to be your guide through this adventure. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I don't want to do it any other way. Oh, no. Let's go with the Lord. Amen? And that's what Abraham did. He was in Ur of the Chaldees, and God called him out, said, come on, I just want to show you something. I want to show you where you're going. He says, okay, let's do that. And it was a 1,000-mile journey. Because Abraham took his family, and he disobeyed the Lord a little bit there because dad came along. He said, leave your father's house. And dad came with him, and they went 600 miles to Haran, up north in northern Iraq. And so they were there until dad passed away. And then they went another 400 miles over to the land of Cana, which is modern Israel. And that was his journey. But he did not find that out until he got there. God took him there. And this is a wonderful adventure. And God has that adventure for each one of us. Sometimes we just don't know where we're going. But we want to just acknowledge him and say, Lord, show me the next step. Let's do the next thing. And it's exciting. He's our dad. He's our leader. He's our God. He will lead us with his counsel and afterward receive us to glory. That sums up your whole existence. He will lead you with his counsel, and after that, receive you to glory. Simple as that. Great sentence to just sum up your life as you go with him. And it's a blessing. And we go by faith. We don't know where, but we're going. And God is moving and taking us along, and it's awesome. Now let's go on to the next thing then in verse 9 about faith. Okay, we've wrapped this up, and we're seeing that in this first example that we want to just know that we do not need to feel bad when we don't know where we're going. We just need to look to the Lord for the next thing, and that is by faith. Now, the next thing is, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob. Now, Isaac is his son. And Isaac is the son of promise, the one that God promised in the promise, that he said, I will make you the father of many nations, and your seed or your descendants will be as the stars in the heavens and the and like the sand upon the seashore for number, because we are all children of Abraham as far as the faith goes. He's the father of the faith. And so that promise would be fulfilled through Isaac, the child of promise. Now, as we look at Isaac, he is in a very exciting situation, because of his birth and his sacrifice, which we'll study next week, but his birth is amazing. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 17 and verse 15. So we go to Genesis 17:15. Genesis, first book in the Bible, chapter 17, verse 15. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, that was her name in the beginning, but God's going to change her name, and he has a reason for that. As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. Sarah means princess. And God changed her name to princess, or actually referring to the fact that she's a mother of nations, which we get in the next verse. It says, and I will bless her and give you a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. A mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and started busting up. He started laughing. And this is the laugh of faith. Now with Sarah, and we'll see that as we see her next week, she had a little setback there when she laughed in disbelief. But this laugh is a laugh of total belief, as we see it expounded to us in Romans 4, and we'll get there in a minute. But Abraham fell upon his face, and he laughed, and he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? Whoa, yeah, now there's a deed for you. And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear? Wow, well, he believed that. And we'll see that it was accounted to him, or put to his account in heaven, as righteousness, to believe that that could happen. Yeah, doesn't matter that he's 100 years old. And as he refers to himself, that he knew his body was now dead, and that his wife was 90, past the age of bearing, past menopause. But we're dealing with God here. And so this next thing about faith is, you and I should always be ready to believe the impossible. Mm-hmm. Is anything too hard for God? It says in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, and in the New Testament says, all things are possible with God. All things. And you know, God will allow you to get in situations like that to prove that to you and to show you. And oh, how we can shake and shudder when some of these things come up in our lives. And we just go, man, this is impossible. impossible realm we're dealing with here. Nobody's going to be able to get me out of this. But then you turn to God, and He very carefully and very beautifully, step by step, leads you out of it. And sometimes we forget. You know, the other day He said, remember the loaves and the fishes. No, He said this, don't you remember the loaves and the fishes? That's what He said to the disciples when they started getting all upset and uptight about bread. They had a big bread discussion. And He said, come on, you guys, you worried about bread? Don't you remember the loaves and the fish? It had just happened a little earlier in their lives. And man, how many times has He delivered us? How many times? From financial difficulties. Oh, He does that. He's amazing that way. Because He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if He was hungry, He wouldn't tell you. Because He's very rich. Oh, yes, He is. I got the richest dad in the world. How about you? Yes, you do. Because you know the Lord. And He can do anything. Yes, He can. So these are the things we need to remember in times that we're called to have faith in Him. This is impossible. But Abraham's believing before it even happens, and he's laughing with God. He's laughing with the Lord. You know, I could just picture the Lord just delighting in Abraham right at that moment. The scripture says in Proverbs 8:31 that the Lord delights, His delights are with the sons of men. He gets delighted with us, and it pleases Him. It's impossible to please Him without faith, but with faith, oh, we can delight Him. He's delighted, and He's probably laughing along with Abraham. And this is a very emotional laugh. This is no, ho, 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 ho. Oh, no. It's the kind where it says that he fell on his face and began to laugh. And so this is the kind of ribcage breaker. Do you ever have a ribcage breaker? When you got laughing so hard, that happens to Sherry and Jenny when they get together. Sometimes they get going, it's just, boy, Sherry's not going to live because she's laughing so hard. And you know, it's a fall down on your face, worshiping the Lord, just laughing your guts out is what's going on here. And I'm thinking, yeah, yeah, that's beautiful. You know, there's an old song, and we were trying to remember who sings it. I thought it was Karen Lafferty, which would be good because it would be, that's her name, Lafferty. But I think Sherry was saying, no, it was somebody Collins, right? Jamie Collins? Jamie Collins. Anyway, the song goes like this. Go jump in the Jordan River. Go swim in the pool of Bethesda. It'll do you good. You really should. And you'll start falling in love again. And you'll start feeling the laughter in your soul. Oh yeah. When we get close to the Lord and understand Him and begin to walk with Him and allow Him to surprise us with Billy and Ruth Graham, man, the laughter is intense. And the beauty of that experience, this surprise from God, is awesome. It's awesome. And God can do it, and God wants to do it. And it just comes through faith. You know, here we see Abraham believing God for the impossible. And it was just a laughter experience. Our son John, before he passed away, he had a vision from the Lord about my mom and my dad. And John had never, ever seen them together. He, of course, spent a lot of time with Grandma June, my mom, here on the West Coast, and he visited my dad on the East Coast. But my mom and dad got divorced when I was 2.5 years old. And so my son, of course, had never, ever seen them together. But 4 months before he died, he had this vision, and he saw my mom and my dad laughing their guts out with Jesus in heaven. And it just so moved him. He was in such great physical agony and mental tormentation because his wife was busy divorcing him. But he was bummed to the max. But wow, he said, Dad, tears started coming sideways out of my head. And I didn't know whether I was laughing or crying, but it was the most awesome thing. And it was such a great vision. I had him share one night on Wednesday night study. And it was really neat because we got a chance to record that. And so we still have that. And it's, I believe it's still on the internet, isn't it? If you want to hear it. But anyway, he saw my mom and my dad together for the first time laughing with the Lord. And I thought immediately of this situation with Abraham. And man, he was believing, and he was believing with all of his heart. And he was shaking up his liver. Did you know that every time you laugh, especially hard, you shake up your liver? Yeah. It really needs to be shaken up sometimes. And you start laughing. And if you concentrate, that's what they call a belly laugh, you know. The liver is going shaking up. They say that actually your liver is the seat of your emotions. I heard this at a high school. What are they called again? Assembly. We went there together. The assembly in high school. And they said, you know what? When you say to somebody, I love you with all my heart, that's wrong. It's really, you should say, I love you with all my liver. And there it goes. See, I'm laughing. I can feel it. No. But it shakes up the old liver, and it's a healthy thing for you to laugh. And God wants to laugh with you. But, you know, I was so blessed with this idea that Abraham just started to laugh in this beautiful belief. Now, I want to show you the belief given in a theologically set down book, the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul tells us what was going on in Abraham's heart that brought all this laughter. So let's take a look at Romans 4:18. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Acts, Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Now, this word hope, I wanted to include this in our study because there's another verse in Romans 15 where we'll go next that has to do with this idea of hope. Oh, we need hope. You need hope. You don't want to give up hope. Now, abide faith, hope, and love. Of course, the greatest of these is love, but hope and faith are so important also. Who against hope, Abraham against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When God spoke to him about having a baby in the course of the nine-month period, the Lord came to him 9 months before it happened that she was going to conceive and then have the baby. But he did not consider his own body. He could have gone, oh, man, I don't know. I'm pretty dead. No, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't think about that either. He just fell on his face and began to praise God and rejoice and laugh with the Lord. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Didn't matter that it was physically impossible. It didn't matter that the Red Sea was deep. They figure about 1,500 feet deep. It didn't matter that Pharaoh was coming down in chariots after them. It didn't matter that there were mountains on either side of them. No, what matters is God said, stand still and see the salvation of your God. And Moses put the rod up over the Red Sea, and the Red Sea parted. They went over on dry land, and Pharaoh and his armies followed, and the Lord closed the ocean over them, and Miriam got out her tambourine. And that's Moses' sister, and began to dance with the women. And they began to sing the song of Moses, the horse and rider has he thrown into the sea. And there was great rejoicing. And that is just another example of God doing impossible things. He wants us always to keep our chin up and our hearts on fire with the fact that we can hope beyond hope, who against hope believed in hope, as he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. Strong in faith and being fully persuaded. Not going to doubt about this. God said it, I believe it, that settles it, it's going to happen. Fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to do, and therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. God loves faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We read that in the verse in Hebrews 11:6 before. And so it is then accounted to his account in heaven as righteousness before God. It makes God very happy and very blessed. And so our example, Father Abraham, believing God for the impossible. And I want to encourage you with that. You know, you can get into a situation that you just don't think that this is going to end good. And I mean, you can get so discouraged over it. For a whole bunch of years, Sherry's sister has been very sick, and she's had trouble with prescription drugs and things, and just hard life. And, you know, we just didn't know what was going to happen, and we've been between a rock and a hard place for a long time now, because she has been asked to leave several apartments because of her behavior. And, you know, we're running out of places. And, you know, Sherry and I live in an apartment, and we're not allowed to have anybody stay with us more than a week. So you begin to think, what are we going to do now? As it's getting closer to the time when they're going to kick her out again. And, you know, we just were praying and seeking the Lord and asking His will. And she's safe at home now. And she's so relieved of all this drug thing that went on in her life. And all of it's gone, because God came and took her home last Thursday. And, you know, Sherry was afraid. She was living in kind of fear that, well, someday we'll find her dead dragging her poor body to the door to try to get out, or to the phone and that kind of stuff. But she died exactly where she loved to be, in the bathtub. And that blessed Sherry, you know, and I know you probably can't be blessed with that, but Sherry was. And she just slumped over. We just picture the Lord, as she was enjoying her bath. She loved to take baths. The Lord just came and said, Rennie Lynn, come on home. And she's safe at home now. And God did that. And that's God's timing. It was so neat, because a couple of weeks ago, the last thing she really did, she was in a lockdown unit with a really difficult, scary lady. That everybody was afraid of. Even the attendants were afraid of her, steered clear of this lady. And she said, Rennie said to her, do you know Jesus? And she said, of course I know Jesus. I was baptized. And she said, oh, honey, baptism can't save you. She said, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. And this tough woman opened up her heart, and Rennie led her in the sinner's prayer. And the staff the next day were raving what a change there was in this scary woman. And we know Jesus does that, doesn't he? Oh, he does that. And what does that do for us as family? We know where she's going. We know where she is. She loved the Lord. She just had a problem, that's all. A problem that got in the way so many times. But she loves the Lord. And so last Sunday night, just right before she passed away, we were wondering what to do with her and stuff. And so we ended up at Outback. Man, what a Last Supper that was. So joy-filled. We were laughing and just blessed. You know how you can get blessed at dinner. And anyway, she saw my macaroni and cheese. She says, what is that? I said, it's macaroni and cheese. And she said, oh, I should have got that. So we ordered an order of macaroni and cheese for her to take home later. So she, man, she just stacked up on the food. It was great. And then Jesus came and took her home. To me, that's a love story. And that's a beautiful story. And those are the kind of stories that God makes up in his mind as he is directing things. No better thing to do than to move from your apartment to heaven. Safe at home. And as I hugged my dear wife, I just said, you know what? Your dear sister is safe at home from all the garbage that you and I have to struggle with. And especially, you know, having a little drug problem there. I shouldn't say little. But man, what a blessing. Well, there it is. God can take care of anything and anybody anytime he wants. And oh, how he wants. His thoughts towards us are as the sand upon the seashore. Actually, he thinks about you more than you think about you. Think about that. That's deep. If he thinks about you as much as the sand on the seashore of all the seashores in the earth, that's way more than you can contain in your brain. So I've come to the conclusion, and this just happened about a month ago to me, I came to this conclusion, God thinks about me more than I think about myself. And that's pretty hard. You know? I mean, we're always thinking about ourselves, right? But he's actually got more thoughts about me than I do about myself. That's why it says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or even think, according to the power that's at work within you. And so we just trust. We just trust. We must trust. Abraham is our wonderful example. He's grandpa. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Simple as that. Wonderful. Well, this thing of hope, I told you I wanted to go to another verse on this. This is one of Marvin's favorite verses, and I love it. But there in verse 18 again, who against hope believed in hope. Let's go to Romans 15, verse 13. This is a magnificent verse for us today. Romans 15:13. It says, now the God of hope, fill you with all joy. You know, I read that word joy, and I think about Jerry Jackson's funeral service yesterday. I mean, what a joyous thing that was. Oh, it was just filled with the joy of the Lord, and it was a blessing. And so many came to share about Jerry the Joy Man. I mean, he was truly blessed. He would always say, super blessed. Super, how are you, Jerry? Super blessed. And then he'd give you a hug. And it's going to be great to see him again. You know, I was thinking about that, you know, actually, one of the dear ones that spoke about Jerry, a relative, a cousin, I think it was a cousin or a niece. Yeah, beautiful niece. And she just shared, you know, Jerry is just simply gone to heaven to continue his work. And you think about that, is that true? And then I started thinking, you know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for you. That's what he does all day and all night. He prays for you. And Jerry was our prayer warrior in the prayer room for 35 years. That's what he did. And he has prayed for you over and over again. And yes, he has transferred to heaven to be with Jesus, because it says when we go to heaven, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And what is the Lord doing? He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. So Jerry is going to feel real at home up there and just go right in and help the Lord Jesus Christ pray for you. And I'm glad to know that. I am glad to know that. That's a blessing. And so may the Lord, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's what faith brings. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, this is very, very good. Very wonderful. Okay, so we've looked at this idea of that sometimes you're not going to know where you're going, but you need to look to the one that's taken you there. And the second thing is to believe that nothing is too hard for your God. And whatever you face, and I do believe that God on purpose sometimes allows us to face things that we can't figure out what we're going to do, so that He can show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him. And He will bring the peace and the release and the deliverance. Okay, so let's go to this third idea now. Let's go back to verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 10. Oh, Bill's going to love this, and I knew he would. Brother Bill and I, he's always telling me, prophecy's important, prophecy's important. And we agree totally, don't we, brother, on that. Verse 10 really shows us about faith. This is one of the most important things about being a man or woman of faith in Jesus Christ. That is to be heavenly minded. It says, for he looked, Abraham looked, for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And this subject is picked up again starting in verse 13 through 16. Let's read those. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Brothers and sisters, we have to face up to that. You're a stranger here. You're just a pilgrim here. You're not going to feel real comfortable on this earth. The minute that people know that you're a Christian, they're going to take sides either for you or against you. And you're a savior of life unto life to those that are being saved, and death unto death to those who are perishing. And they get really mad at you because they feel death for themselves, because you are an aroma of death unto death as you preach Christ to people. And all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And that's when we really realize that we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We just don't fit in. It's like trying to put a round piece of wood into a square hole. We just don't fit. And so there'll be times of that feeling and that rejection. But you know, the day's coming when you're going to be home, and you're going to feel at home, and you will be really accepted. Accepted in the beloved. You're accepted in the beloved right now by Jesus and by one another. That's why we gather together at church, is to affirm each other, build each other up, and just be close to one another, because we are strangers and pilgrims. For they say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. We are seeking another country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return, that Abraham could gather his wife and his son and grandson, Isaac and Jacob, and take them back to Ur in southern Iraq. But he didn't do that because he had a faith that there's another country that he was seeking. And he was living in tents. He wasn't a palace dweller. He was a nomadic tribe leader living in tents. But he knew there's a city coming, another country. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. And this is the New Jerusalem. And this is what we look for. And we look for the second coming of Jesus. And our eye is on the prize. And that is so important. And that's why prophecy is so important. That Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy, it says in Revelation. And so as we study prophecy together, we're lining up with Father Abraham, yes, sir, in our faith. And you know, you can overcome anything that's terrible, that you see to be terrible in your life, if you have this part of faith active in your life, that you're looking for another country, that you are a pilgrim and a stranger here. And so these horrible things that happen to people, and what things that you could probably list off that have been hard in your life, aren't even worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in you one day. And it's not far off. Time goes by so fast. But above that, the rapture might be before time goes by any faster, because it's not long from now that Jesus will return. And Abraham was looking for that city. Now I want to tell you that in Psalm 46, it's a beautiful psalm about comfort and so forth, but it says that God is our refuge or hiding place and our strength, and He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the mountains be removed and though the mountains be cast into the sea. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. So we're going to this new city that Abraham was looking for, and we're going to be with him and Isaac and Jacob. We're all going to sit down to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a verse about that where Jesus says, you will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the table. Won't that be amazing? Well, they'll be the grandparents. And I wonder if Sarah will talk a lot like my grandmother talks about at Thanksgiving. But anyway, what a blessing. But this river makes glad the city of God. We're told in the scriptures, the prophets, and talks about Jesus when he puts his foot down, and there's a new valley will open up, and there's going to be a river springing forth from the Temple Mount that goes down to the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea, nothing lives in it, but it becomes a place where fishers can fish again because of the life that's in the water when Jesus comes, and it flows down from underneath the Temple Mount and goes the other way too, down to the Mediterranean Sea. And we know that the river of life, it's the tree of life, or planted around a river that flows from the throne of God, Revelation 22. And so we see this river. Now I'm mentioning this river, and I'm mentioning it with abounding in hope. And I'm mentioning it with the comfort of Psalm 46, that God's a very present help in the time of trouble. Because Jesus and His life that He wants to give you is all wrapped up in the idea of the river of God. And I'd like to give you the scriptures on that. Let's go ahead. And this ends also with the liver again, so this is really good. John 7:37. Let's turn to John chapter 7. We'll end with this today. John 7:37. John chapter 7 and verse 37. Now this is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. At the Feast of Tabernacles, on the last day, the high priest would take some water from the temple area and bring the water down to the people, all standing, waiting for the high priest to offer the drink offering and pour out the water from the temple area on the ground. And then they would break loose in such rejoicing that it's like being at the sixth game of the World Series when the Angels won. And greater than that, because the historian Josephus wrote that if you haven't experienced the joy of the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, when the high priest pours out that water, and you've never seen that joy, you have never seen joy at all. That's what Josephus, the historian, says about this day. And it says here that in the last day, and that's the day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me," and there's the faith part, "as the scripture has said, out of his liver, out of his belly, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." And so our Jesus is the place to go right here to experience a taste of heaven. His Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And as we come to Him for living water, He brings it. And this same river will flow through the city of God one day. And we will be blessed to be forever with Jesus Christ. He produces fountains of waters in us that spring up into everlasting life. And so it is, yes, enjoying the journey. It is, yes, arriving. It's all of it. And it's all through faith. And we just appreciate Father Abraham so much and the things that God saw in his life and gave to him in his life that we can just join in with. And it's just through believing and receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. So let's pray together. Let's pray. So Father, we thank you so much, God, for Jesus, that he is the water, the living water, and wants to just satisfy our thirst. And Lord, we know that King David said, "I will not be satisfied till I wake up and am like you." And Lord, that you bring to us yourself as you give us a drink of the living water. And one day, that river flowing through your city, Lord, and the rejoicing that will be there. Lord, we want to learn, and as Jerry did, Lord, to live in your joy, with your joy, receiving your peace, abounding in hope. Lord, help us to keep our chins on your windowsill, looking into your face and receiving from you every day. So we thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you don't know Jesus yet, please come to the prayer room today and pray to receive the Lord. Don't put it off any longer. You've been messing around too long. Come on. Come on in. The water's fine. The Lord wants to touch you and bless you and give you a brand new life and teach you his ways. And it's just amazing what God can do in your life. And so the prayer room's open for you. Thank you for opening that, dear sister. And you can come on in. So may the Lord bless you. God just keep you good and keep you going. Keep trucking for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen, sister.